The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7 interceptions. 7 interceptions. And 2 touchdowns. Exactly what we expected from Sunday Night Football. That's crazy. It was a wild ride between the Lions and those Texans who must be feeling heartbreak. It's heartbreak in Houston. And I don't know that we can go so far as to say, Houston, we have a problem, because I don't think it's that bad yet. But they've dropped 3 of 4, the Texans have. And this one, while it was never in the bag, I wouldn't say that you can ever take a 23-7 lead at halftime and believe that it's safe. Hold on. Changing laptops. I grabbed the wrong one. It's mass chaos here in studio on Sunday nights. Usually it's mass chaos on Sunday nights because there's little time to transition with another person in studio. Okay, I got the right laptop. Don't you worry. We're not going to call that an interception or a fumble. We're just going to call that an audible, having to switch out the play while we're at the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, what we saw from the Lions in their comeback shows that they find ways to win. And that is a great sign of an organization that's built a culture and a foundation that not only is confident, but is one that has depth, so you can win a variety of ways. And also shows that when you're kicked when you're down, you can figure out a way to get back up. These are all hallmarks of teams that can compete in the pressure-packed situations, in the pressure cookers. We say this a lot about teams like the Chiefs, of course. They find ways to win, and they did yet again on Sunday, so we'll get to them. They are still unbeaten. Of course, the only team left standing in the NFL that has not absorbed a loss this year. This is what I see from the Lions. Despite 5 interceptions from Jared Goff, and the last time he did that, he was at Cal. His first time ever in which he's had 5 picks in one single NFL game, which should tell you something. Even in his worst season with the Rams, he never threw 5 picks in a game. Now, 2 of them were tipped, but it's on him for throwing that ball into traffic sometimes. Now, sometimes if a ball is just off the hands of a defender or a hands of a receiver and the receiver should have caught it, it still goes down as a pick. But 2 of them were tipped, 1 of them into traffic. That was in the first half. And then to watch some of the balls he threw. Now, the interception at the end of the first half, that was really one where he was just trying to make a play. There's a handful of seconds left on the clock in the first half, so you kind of go for broke and hope that you can get down into the red zone. So he was chucking and ducking in that particular case. But then you start out the second half, and it's more of the same. And some of these throws, no doubt he would like to have them back. But yeah, some of these throws he's airmailing. He was just off. And I was listening to part of the Westwood One coverage with Ryan Radke and Mike Golic. And Mike kept saying that. Jared just looks off. Off to the tune of 5 different turnovers.
There's the snap to Jared. Sets in the pocket. Wants to throw. Looks. Throws deep downfield. Wants J-Mo. That is up for grabs. And picked up. Just can't make that throw. It's just up for grabs that time, and Bullock ran right under it for Houston. Wanted J-Mo, but it's just a jump ball.
You can hear it in the voices of the Lions Radio Network. Dan Miller, he's very expressive, and so when things are going extremely well, which they did turn around for the Lions in the second half, when things are going extremely well, you can hear that in his voice. When things are not, you can hear that in his voice. And actually, Jared Goff indicates he wasn't really playing that bad. This wasn't a typical blow-up game.
I honestly didn't feel like I was playing all that bad. And I was seeing things well. I was throwing it well. Had some unfortunate things there early, but like I've been through a whole lot worse than that. I've been to the bottom, and mentally I've been to the bottom, and some unlucky plays isn't going to throw me off my game.
So Jared Goff's 5th interception comes about midway through the 3rd quarter. And that may have been the turning point. It's kind of funny to say that, right? But as the Lions are, even if it's not the turnovers, just wasting the possessions, they're at this point still trailing by double figures. So yeah, it's not just about giving the ball to the other team. Because in some cases, maybe they were going to punt. These deep throws downfield, they kind of serve like a punt. The issue is, of course, you're giving possessions away. And they were trailing by 16 at the half and still had a couple more turnovers to come. Could you imagine how frustrating that is? You come out of the halftime locker room. You're probably fired up. You feel like you've had a break. The worst is behind you. How much worse can it get? And then you go out there, and in 2 of your first 3 drives in the second half, you have a couple more turnovers. Don't! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Lions and Texans Sunday Night Football. Believe it or not, this was not your choice for Game of the Week, even though it's a battle between 2 first-place teams. We'll get to your choice for the After Hours Game of the Week within this hour. I'd love to connect with you online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Producer Pete is out tonight, but Ryan is with us, familiar with what we do on these Sunday nights. And so we'll get our Monday MVP poll up before long. I know, though, I want to mention this. It is a very special day for our country on Monday. That is Veterans Day, in which we honor those military servicemen and women, as well as their families who make so many sacrifices in the name of service. And I want to say thank you to all of our veterans who are listening. I've got veterans in my family. I've also got very close friends that I admire because they served. And as much as many veterans can feel as though they're forgotten or can feel as though they don't get back what they put into service for the United States, I hope that on this Monday, we can all find some veterans to thank, whether it be in person, whether it be on social media. I know the Marines were just celebrating their birthday this weekend as well. So I just want to add my heartfelt thanks. And I know we have a lot of veterans who listen to the show. I always try to thank you when you call or when you reach out. If you have a veteran that you would like to thank, you can use our social media, again, at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, and then I can put up a post on our Facebook page as well. But I want to make sure that doesn't get lost. I know there were many salutes around the NFL on Sunday to honor our nation's veterans. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. All right, we mentioned that with the Jared Goff interception, middle of the third quarter, the Lions are still trailing by 10. They did get a David Montgomery touchdown, although the two-point conversion failed, but that was almost right out of the gate. Not quite. They had the pick first and then had a touchdown drive and then back to a pick. But here's what's happening in the second half. The Texans' offense that looked like it had such a great rhythm in the first half was able to run the ball with Joe Mixon. He's been terrific since he returned. That rhythm disappeared, as in poof. Now, it's not magic, of course. This is really about the gritty and physical play of that defense for the Lions. And this is what I mean about finding ways to win. It's not just about quarterbacks. It's not just about offense. It's also about the other groups, the other segments. It's about a roster that's got defenders and special teams. And without those two elements, the Lions are not winning this game because the offense wasn't going to generate enough to be able to rally. But the defense was holding the Texans at bay. And so in the second half, they've got a couple turnovers of their own, including one in the end zone. And that's tough. CJ Stroud throws two picks for the first time in his young NFL career, and one of them happens to be in the end zone. A couple other times for the Texans, they feel like they've got a little momentum. They just can't sustain it. And it's tough. When you lose by just 3 points, you tend to look at the what-ifs and where we left points out there. They really didn't take a lot. Well, they didn't take an advantage of all of the turnovers by the Lions. A couple of times they're into the red zone and have to settle for field goals. But the rhythm was there in the first half. It was a lot of fun to see. CJ Stroud was spreading the ball around. He was using John Mechie. So we didn't get Nico Collins back in this game, but he's throwing to John Mechie and Dalton Schultz, who just returned from an injury. Of course, Tank Dell, who hauls in big catches for him. Even got Robert Woods, the veteran, to catch a ball in this one. But they just couldn't sustain drives in the second half. And so as they're giving the ball back to the Lions, again, the Lions are not playing great offensively, but they're getting a big reception here, a run there, and they're able to kind of piece it together. And for the seventh straight game, Goff able to find his favorite target in the end zone.
Goff up under center, gives the single back. Jared takes, turns, throws right side, got a complete. Amon-Ra picks up a block to the five, yes, to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. They are right back in this game.
That's Dan Miller again on Lions Radio. So Amon-Ra into the end zone for the seventh straight game, courtesy of Jared Goff. And that's early in the fourth quarter. Now, at this point, they're only trailing by a field goal. As long as there are no more turnovers, they're golden moving forward, because the defense had done the rest. Yeah, the Texans go four and out on their next possession. The Lions are able to march the 43 yards. So they're getting short fields, right? Because the defense is limiting the yardage given up to the Texans. The Lions only have to go 43 yards before they're able to line up for a Jake Bates 58-yard field goal. Now, they obviously would have liked to get closer, but what they got from Jake Bates was a career game. This is exactly what they needed. And then, again, the Texans can't do anything with their possession. This time it's a missed field goal by Kyahmi Fairbairn, which puts the ball back in the hands of the Lions. To look at the second half time of possession, again, even with all the turnovers, and there were four of them actually between the two teams in the second half, the Lions were able to settle in. And in each case, they get what they need. It's not pretty. No one's going to write a song about this game for the Lions. except that sometimes you got to win ugly. And on their last possession, and now the Texans still had timeout, so they were trying to preserve time on the clock. In fact, they used all three of their timeouts in the final 2 minutes, the final possession for the Detroit Lions. And really, they're not getting a whole lot with the run game. Detroit keeps getting stuffed. But the one time they need the first down, Goff finds Amon-Ra for 11 yards. And at this point, again, they're really not going anywhere. They're trying to line up their final kick and do it when there's no time left on the clock.
Bates, the first-year kicker, is set. Tells Fox he's ready to go. Here's the snap. Ball down. The kick is on the way. End over end. It is good! Just inside the left upright. And the Lions win! The Lions steal one in Houston.
So you get the call there with Ryan Radke on Westwood One. And the Lions win with a couple of late field goals by Jake Bates. Both over 50 yards. The Chiefs stay undefeated with a blocked kick, and they're miserable in the red zone on Sunday. And yet, these are your best two teams in the NFL right now. Why? Because you are what your record says you are. How about this? And I put this out there on Twix earlier just because it's a great snapshot of how different things are now for the Lions after decades of their fans suffering in, I wouldn't say silence, but suffering and feeling so irrelevant as if things would never change. For the first time since 1954, before Super Bowls even existed, the Lions are 8-1. Good for you, Lions fans. And yeah, how about winning on a field goal after five interceptions, Jared Goff?
Holy smokes. That was a roller coaster of a game, and like I said, like a mental battle for me to know that I'm not to know that I'm not crazy. Like what I knew what I was doing, and I knew what I was seeing, and maybe one or two of them, you know, I'd like to have back, but for the most part, you know, I was confident what I was seeing and where I was throwing it.
You know, that was a hard fought game, and you know, we had to fight our way back in there. And, you know, I'm proud of the guys. There's things that obviously we got to clean up, but, they just wouldn't go away. Our guys wouldn't go away.
I like that. We're going to keep fighting until the end. We're not going to give up on a game. We're not going to give up on each other. We're not going to throw in the towel. I'm sure we'll get to this, but there was one member of the Colts on Sunday against the Bills who just came out and said that his team was not playing hard. His team essentially had given up and was not working toward a win. And that's the opposite of what winning teams do. This is their cornerback, Kenny Moore, a veteran in the league. And here's his quote. "I don't think everybody's going as hard as possible, and obviously it's showing. I don't think the urgency is there. I don't think the details are there. I don't see everything correlating from meetings to practice to the game, and it shows. To go out and make the same mistakes over and over, I think that's what drives me insane." So that's a Colts team that's kind of stuck right now. They're stuck in the mire and the muck. Meanwhile, the Lions, as bad as it was for 2.5 quarters, they fight and they scratch the claw. And they're able to use the other parts of their game. Kicking, the special teams, of course, and then the defense to rally for a win. And these are the type of confidence builders. They're the type of wins that you don't remember all the details by the time you get to the postseason, but you remember that you were able to rally from a hole like this, which means you're never out of it because you've got the people in your locker room and the coaches in place to figure it out. And honestly, don't we see the Chiefs do that all the time? Which is why fans are so infuriated by it. They look like they're headed for losses, and then what? Wait, what just happened? Well, when you get to that point, you are beyond a shadow of a doubt a contender to win a title. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online, also on our Facebook page. Now, coming up, we'll take the Houston perspective, because this is heartbreak for the Texans. Not only being up 16 points at halftime, that's not insurmountable, but the way they lost, being unable to score in the second half, and C.J. Stroud taking the blame on him. But even D'Amico Ryans at a loss. They're in the halftime locker room. He says, we talked about specific details, ways to protect this win, and we did the exact opposite. We are off and running on our Sunday night show. I know it's a holiday weekend for a lot of people. So hello to our veterans. I'd love to hear from you at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Best start since 1954 for your Detroit Lions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Stroud will line up in the shotgun. Three receivers left, including Schultz. Dell single man right. Here's the snap. Stroud is back to pass. Looking, throws deep down the middle for the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, John Metchie. Touchdown, Texans. Another strike fired in by Stroud. And Metchie hauls it in traffic. A 15-yard touchdown. And the Texans' lead is now 22-7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Right before halftime, that was the call with Ryan Radke on Westwood One, and the Texans looked good. They looked fluid. They were finding their spots. They were picking apart that Detroit defense, which is not easy to do. But where the Lions defense had some breaks, had some letdowns in the first half, they were terrific in the second half. It was the complete opposite for the Texans. So they've got a 16-point lead at home at the break. And D'Amico Ryans thought they had a plan going back out on the field.
It's not good enough turning the football over there, especially red zone or coming out. You know, we talk about getting started in the second half, and we talked about being better in the second half, but to come out and turn the ball over the first play of the second half and to get in the red zone where we have points and to turn the ball over, that's not winning football.
Yeah, and he points to, again, the first time they touch the ball in the second half, it's a turnover. Then they end up with an interception in the end zone, so there's a second turnover, completely stunting all of their rhythm and forward progress. But then four punts and a missed field goal. But you can't put this on Kaimi Fairbairn because he has done more than his share of the work so far this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for C.J. Stroud, 19 of 33 for 232 yards. He throws a touchdown, the one you hear to John Metchie, but he also has those two picks early in the second half and four sacks courtesy of the Lions.
I feel like this game was on me, you know, definitely. Got to make plays, got to make throws. Can't turn the ball over and when we're in scoring position. So, yeah, I blame this on me. You know, I got to be better in those moments. So, yeah, it's really just got to go down and score in the red zone. And our defense is getting the turnovers like they were. So, got to be able to, you know, reward them with points. And you know, that's something we didn't do.
Yeah, the approach each week is to go win the game, no matter how it looks. You know, we don't set out to win an ugly game, but in this league, every game comes down to, you call that final possession. So you have to find a way to gut those out and win. We haven't been on the winning side, you know, of those games, as, you know, Green Bay, New York, and now Detroit. So we didn't make the plays to win the game. Like, however you win, you got to find a way. And to play, to win games, you got to have guys have to step up and make plays, and that's not happening.
The Lions have now won seven in a row, but it's the opposite for the Texans. Though both are still in very good position. Well, the Lions obviously are. They could end up with the best record in the NFC. the Texans are a first place team. The Texans, because of the division, as long as they don't suffer a total collapse like the Jaguars did last year, they could still win a second consecutive AFC South title. And maybe this is just a blip. And here's what stands out to me. Now, they're not finding ways to close games. And that's what D'Amico Ryans points out. But on the road at Green Bay, they lose on a last-second field goal, 24-22. They beat the Colts by 3 against the Jets. If I remember correctly, that was Thursday night. So a Jets game on Thursday night at MetLife Stadium, they lose by, now it's a touchdown, but again, the offense sputters. They lose by 8 points. And then against these Lions, where they failed to protect the lead. So this one to me feels like the toughest pill to swallow because of the big lead they had, because of how well they were playing, and because you're unlikely to get another opponent, except for maybe Joe Flacco. You're unlikely to get another opponent turn the ball over 5 times. It's nearly unheard of to turn the ball over 5 times and win. That's snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And so that's why the heartbreak in Houston. Plus, this was a home game. Now, the Texans moving forward have a game at AT&T Stadium. And that does, that comes up, I think it's a Monday night game, if I remember. So week 11, it's a Monday night game. I'm pretty confident, which will be kind of fun. Texans, well, it would have been fun. But the Cowboys are a disaster. So Texans at Cowboys for the upcoming Monday night game. And Ryan's nodding to confirm. Thank you, Ryan. And then, can you believe we're getting closer to the end of November? Oh my gosh. The Titans, the following week in week 12. And then they're off until the Jaguars in, let's see, what is it, December? Oh my gosh, how is that possible? Their third game out is in December. What? How can we be talking about December? Oh my gosh. And Thanksgiving week, that's crazy. So they're not done out with no possibilities for redemption. It's not that dramatic. It's just they're not playing well. When you've got your own lineman who takes the ball away from your quarterback and ends up with a fumble, yeah, you're out of sync. But the division is not great. And so they've got everything they want in front of them. Here's where they stand in the AFC South. They're the only team above 500. The Colts are 4-6, and they've dropped 3 in a row. The Titans and the Jaguars are still sitting on 2 wins each. So I like what CJ had to say because it is on him to be a leader. They've got to stay positive. They've got to find the silver lining, if you will, and recognize there's still a lot of football to play.
Got to just move on from this and still understand we just took one of the best football teams, the best NFL teams to, you know, the wire, but we really should have, you know, put them away after the first half. So, you know, it's really on the offense. You got to be better. I got to be better.
There's plenty of football still out there, and I think that's the important part. I might say it more than once, just because we look at, oh, there's only 17 games, and compared to, say, an NBA season or an NHL season that has 82 games, or even, what, a baseball season that's twice that. But in the NFL, because there's so little margin for error, especially in the AFC, other teams will take a step back. The Texans, I'm sure, because of their leadership and their coaching, will find their stride again. They are supposed to get Nico Collins back. I know they lost Stephon Diggs. Will Anderson is supposed to get back as well. So you get some reinforcements in the form of guys getting healthy. And this is that adversity you have to go through to become a team that is capable of winning in January and February. It's part of the growing pains. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Hope that you enjoyed your weekend. It was a rare weekend at home getting stuff done around the house. We finally have a washer and dryer again. Yes. Now the room isn't done. We found another error by the contractors, which I won't go into tonight. But at some point this week, I'll tell you the story. It's crazy. I swear we're living in the money pit. Thank God it's just the little room on the back of our house and not the rest of our house, which is still standing. 855-212-4227. Now, coming up, you pick Commanders Steelers as the after hours game of the week. Also two first place teams when they kicked off. Let's get it. I'm telling you, Mike Tomlin looks brilliant for making Russell Wilson his starting quarterback and really going out on a limb there. But Russ is rewarding his confidence. Here's our latest sports update.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
You chose the Steelers and the Commanders in our nation's capital, or close, Landover, Maryland, so outside the Beltway. You chose this game as the after hours game of the week, and I love it. I love that it's a little bit outside the box. We're definitely not talking about a traditional rivalry, but we are talking about two surprise teams, both sitting in first place in their divisions to begin week number 10. 855-212-4227. Really excited to get to some of the tight finishes that we had, especially in the early window, but even in the later window where the games weren't as close. So the Cardinals blow out the Jets. The Chargers get their third win in a row. Oh, goodness. We have to talk about the Eagles over the Cowboys. There's still intrigue and storylines in those games, too. So week 10, I think, is, yeah, it's authentic. Is that a good word? It's real. It's getting real up in here. At A-Law Radio to find me online, also on our Facebook page. And to our veterans, again, thank you, as we're in a holiday weekend in which we get to celebrate our veterans and thank them for their service and their sacrifice. So Russell Wilson is starting for the third time, coming off the bye for the Steelers. So whatever rhythm he had before the bye with the two starts, I wondered, would they be able to keep that offensively? And yeah, Pittsburgh is up 14-7 in the second quarter after a pair of touchdown passes. If you have not seen the George Pickens touchdown catch in the end zone, this was the first score of the game in DC. Find it. In fact, maybe we can share it from our show Twix at Amy After Hours. He lays out in the end zone after twisting around. So he gets separation from his defender. He twists in the air so that he's facing his quarterback, hauls in the ball as he's falling to the ground. It's a twisting, diving catch, an acrobatic move for a 16-yard touchdown. And wowzers, I know we say this every week because there are candidates for catch of the year every week, but this was definitely one of them. Also, weirdly enough, we had a couple of special teams mistakes that, of course, led to scores for the other team. So the Steelers tried a fake punt, and if you haven't seen it, it was brilliant. The Commanders had no idea it was coming, but Jean-Pierre drops the pass. It was right to him. There was nobody there. You want to talk about just feeling crushed. So, in other words, it's a failed fake punt, but not because of design, only because of execution. So then Washington needs just three plays and gets the tying touchdown for Austin Eckler. But in the second quarter, it's Washington that muffs a punt. So another special teams moment in which there's a momentum shift. Pittsburgh quickly into the red zone, and Pat Freiermuth hauls in the touchdown. And at this point, I really noticed how many terrible towels there were in D.C. I know Steelers fans travel well, but I would have thought Commanders fans would have gobbled up all the tickets. You could hear the smooth chants there at the Commanders Stadium, FedEx Field, I think it is, right there in Landover. So at halftime, this was setting up to be a pretty good one. But Washington takes command, right, with three consecutive scoring drives, and this is around half. One of them, you really got to see what the rookie quarterback can do with the pieces that they've got in place on offense. A 94-yard march. Austin Eckler gets into the end zone again, and also Jeremy McNichols has a touchdown run. And so at this point, Washington is up 10 points. They've gone from being down in the first half to being up 10 on the Steelers in the second half. But this is where I wondered if the experience of the Steelers, of Russell Wilson, would come into play. And also, would they stick to their running game as Najee Harris is having some of the best games of his career?
First and goal with the ball at the 2-yard line. Russell Wilson will saunter up under center. Has Harris as the lone setback. Power to the left of this formation. Wilson gets the snap. Will give to Harris off the left side. And Najee Harris into the end zone for the Steelers at the 8:06 mark here in the third quarter.
Indeed, the Steelers stick to their run game, and Najee continues to play well. I know I remember when he got hit. Maybe it was in the fourth quarter, a little slow getting up. Oh, actually, it looked like a guy rolled up on his knee, and he was gingerly getting up on it, probably scared more than anything, wondering, have you ever had a knee crack, or you feel kind of a pop in your knee, and you think, oh, crap, what did I just do? Well, I think it was one of those moments, because by the time he got to the sidelines, he was jogging around. So yeah, 21 carries for Najee in this one, along with a touchdown, and he continues to be a driving force for Pittsburgh. So then after that touchdown that pulls the Steelers within three, Russell Wilson throws an interception, and then Jaylen Warren. I wondered if this would be the final nail in the coffin for them. Jaylen Warren fumbles on the 1-yard line. They're about to go into the end zone. He gets stripped of the football. Washington recovers. But something that was different after the Commanders posted that 10-point lead, they never really found their offensive rhythm again. It's crazy how quickly these things change, right? The Texans from first half to second half on Sunday Night Football. The Commanders, really, after taking over the lead in the second half, and you got to credit the defense because the defense was physical and tough and kind of forced the issue. So Washington has a 3-and-out in that fourth quarter, and Russell Wilson, again, in the form that we used to see in Seattle, with that form that Mike Tomlin believed in, this experience. At one point, he's running laterally behind the line of scrimmage to try to extend a play so that he can make time for his receivers to get downfield. And, oh, he's got a new target, in case you hadn't noticed.
They break the huddle. Mike Williams comes to the left. Three receivers split to the right. Warren to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw! What a catch!
Every time we win, it's satisfying. You know, it was a big-time catch by Mike. You know, I just try to give him a chance, you know, and let him do his thing. You know, as a guy that's had three-plus thousand-yard seasons over his career, a guy who's made plays, a guy who's faced some adversity. You know, you love it when guys face adversity and they come through on the other end of it. You know, he had a great week of practice. I thought all of our guys had a great week of practice. We battled. We knew this is a really good football team, and they play hard. They play tough throughout the game, and we knew that it was going to come down to the wire, and we made it when we needed it.
According to Mike, Russell just told him to run that route. It's not something they had practiced. But after the game, Mike Williams said, yeah, Russ told me to go do this. And think about the number of wide receivers who've changed teams and are already making impacts. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he catches two touchdowns from Derek Carr this weekend. We know about Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, so I sometimes feel like he's forcing it to Devontae. Amari Cooper didn't play this weekend, but he made an impact right away with Buffalo, and then DeAndre Hopkins. We'll talk about him more for the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, just as a side note, did you guys hear that the Chiefs wanted to trade for Marshon Lattimore, but the Saints weren't willing and instead send him somewhere else? Yeah, you kind of wonder, why did teams continue to trade with the Kansas City Chiefs? The calls there, including that Mike Williams TD with about 2.5 minutes to go on the Steelers radio network. And in these last couple minutes, Washington had opportunities. The first possession right after the TD stopped short on a fourth down attempt. Zach Ertz had the ball. He's maybe a half yard from leaning back and stretching over the goal. Well, not the goal line, stretching over the first down line. And Minkah Fitzpatrick kind of forces him to sit up, won't allow him to stretch out, won't allow him to reach back and put that ball over the line. And so it was a great tackle there by the Steelers defense. And then Washington. Maybe young guys, I don't know, maybe just anxious guys trying to make something happen with a Steelers fourth down and one.
Russell Wilson breaks the huddle, has Najee Harris deep in the eye. Tightly bunched formation. Wilson, oh my goodness, they got him. The Commanders to jump.
I was sitting there going, no way they snapped this ball. But he got him to jump.
Well, I think that's the case. If you're watching this game on TV, the sentiment was the same. No way they snapped this ball, right? You're fourth and one. You're leading by a point. Why would you take a chance that you get stuffed and give the Commanders a short field? But Mike Tomlin, would you have actually gone for it on fourth down?
We'll never know, will we? You know I'm a degenerate.
That's one of my new favorite drops. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Russell Wilson doesn't have the prettiest stat line, but what we know is that the Steelers are scoring more points, right? The Steelers are racking up more yards. They've got more forward momentum. And in this particular case, they rally for the game-winning touchdown in the final 3 minutes because of the veteran experience of Russell Wilson. And he ends up with the turnover, of course, the interception. Hadn't thrown one in a while, but three more touchdowns. And yeah, you want to talk about clutch plays for the Steelers on the road in partly hostile territory.
You got to love clutch moments. You know, when you get guys that can make plays and do things for you. First of all, Big Mike over there just traded for him. You know, he's a tremendous football player. We got GP on the right, Van on the right. Those guys, Pat showed up in big ways. I mean, just guys just stepped up in key moments and just another great moment. You know, when you're playing a game, there's it's a collection of, 75 plays, and you want to see how many great moments you can have. And when we had that one in the key part of the game, obviously.
As for Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback, there are moments, of course, because he's a rookie, where he looks like a rookie. It's just that we've gotten kind of spoiled by how good he's been. 17 of 34, 202 yards, sacked a few times, no touchdowns in this one.
It stings. And you can see that the guys are very passionate about wins and losses. And it means something to them, matters. So that's where I kind of took away, like, hey, everybody's mad. It matters to them. Like, there's nothing we could do about it. We could just go on to the next.
We're talking about the Texans failing to protect a lead, one that they had at halftime. It was 16 points, and they felt like they were playing really well, but didn't finish. And that's been an issue with them. For the Commanders, of course, they're still in the early stages of building a winning culture, the very early stages. And as much as they've exceeded expectations in this first year with Dan Quinn and his coaching staff, Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, a bunch of rookies on that team, this is the type of game in which you've got a 10-point lead in the second half. When you learn how to finish, when you learn how to protect, you know you're taking a major step forward to having a winning culture and being a legit contender. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.